سلام على العباد الذين اصطفى ما بعد. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وجعلنا النهار معاشا. وقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: يا أيها الناس اتقوا الله وأجملوا في الطلب، فإن نفسا لم تموت حتى تستوفي رزقها وإن أبطأ عنها، فأجملوا في الطلب وخذوا ما حل ودعوا ما حرم. رواه ابن ماجه، وكما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام: اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد، وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. My dear respected brothers, elders and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving us afiyah and tawfiq. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He keeps us all safe and protected. He gives us all warm in these cold times. He gives us all the solutions that we need for all our problems. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gives us the strength that we need during our weakness. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that when we need Him the most, He gives us what we need. Amin ya Rabbal Alameen. And as a reminder for everyone, inshallah ta'ala, again, just to stay warm. Inshallah, it's the cold just hit us like out of nowhere, right? Allah give us all tawfiq and hidayah. Be careful again, children get sick. May dua for all the children. May Allah give them all shifa kamila ajila. And all those people who are sick in hospitals, may Allah give them all shifa kamila ajila. Amin ya Rabbal Alameen. Alhamdulillah, we are continuing the discussion about planning and preparing. And the main crux of all the discussions I want to have was actually this discussion we're going to have today about halal earning, about making sure that we're earning halal. And earning halal means a lot of things. And so I want to really break it down. Many people think that Islam has nothing to do with my mal, with my wealth, or Islam has nothing to do with what I'm earning or my business. Quite the contrary, when you're studying fiqh, right, like your mother said when we were studying, the book on ibadah would be like this big, right? The book on like nikah, talaq, etc., like mu'asharat, right, would be like this big. And bay' would be twice the size of both of them, right? Business transaction would be twice the size of both. Because of the fact of how important the matter is. And so we should remind ourselves, we should also think about it ourselves, how much do we transact? How many bay', how many buyur, how many transactions do we do in a single day? And we don't even know if it's a halal transaction, if it's done halal according to the right way, or if it's haram, maybe something's wrong with the contract, right? And so we have to think for ourselves, how much do we really know about what Sharia says is halal in transactions? What is haram, for example? And many of the non-Muslim, like a lot of the non-Muslims transactions and things that they do are actually from Muslims. For example, the return policy, which is Imam Yusuf rahimahullah ta'ala in the books, you know, when you look in the books, he says that you should give people a month to be able to return, right? Like they should have that much time. Khiyar al-shart, right, in the books of fiqh. Or khiyar al-ru'ya and khiyar al-aib, right? If they find a defect, they're allowed to return it. Right? These are all Islamic concepts that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam taught. Right, this is something Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam taught this. And so what is it in deen? It's straight from the Qur'an. Allah Ta'ala wants us to go and obtain halal rozi, right? He wants us to obtain halal rizq. How do we find this? We find that Allah Subh'anaHu Wa Ta'ala says, وَجْعَلْنَا النَّهَارُ مَعَشَا. So beautiful this ayah in Surah Naba. Allah Subh'anaHu Wa Ta'ala says, He created the day so that way you can earn a livelihood. Allah says, the purpose of creating day was that you can earn a livelihood. And then He made وَجْعَلَ اللَّيْلَ سُبَاتَ. And He made the night so that you can get some rest. So He divided the day so that you can earn, and He divided the day so you can take some rest. And so you will find this throughout the Qur'an. Allah Ta'ala says that وَلِيْتَبْتَغُوا مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. So they can take from the fadl of Allah. What is the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? This word comes about 45 times throughout the entire Qur'an. 45 times. You'll find a good bulk of it to be used. And what does fadl mean? When you ask someone what does fadl mean? Fadl means ziyada. It's an increase. عَلَى الْإِقْتِصَادِ. That whatever was enough for you, you got a little bonus on top of that. That's what a fadl is. So for example, when you get a raise in work or a bonus check, that's a fadl, right? That's something we call a fadl, right? Something extra that you receive. And usually it can be used for bad things, right? Sometimes it's for bad stuff. You get a fadl in bad things. And sometimes it's used for good things. And majority of the time it's used for good in the Qur'an. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about fadl, He talks about it in so many ways. He says, وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ. Right? He said, we honored Bani Adam, the children of Adam alayhi salam. We made them human beings. وَفَضَّلْنَا عَلَى كِثِيرٍ مِمَّنْ خَلَقَ تَفْضِيلًا. مِمَّنْ خَلَقَنَا تَفْضِيلًا. That we have honored them and gave them a fadl, an extra, that we made them humans. We made them a little better than animals. Now they have the choice, the free choice that they have. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about وَلَا تَتَمَنَّوا مَا فَضَّلَ اللَّهُ بَعْدَكُمْ عَلَى بَعْدٍ لِلرِّجَالِ نَصِيبٌ مِمَّا اكْتَسَبُوا وَلِلنِّسَاءِ نَصِيبٌ مِمَّا اكْتَسَبْنَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about it between genders as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the man has been given a fadl and the woman has been given a fadl. There's an extra bonus that the man has received and there's an extra bonus that the woman has received. And they should not desire what the other one has. Allah ta'ala says, you've been given your fadl and this person has been given their fadl. And you'll see this concept used throughout the Quran. One place that Allah ta'ala talks about it so beautifully. وَاللَّهُ فَضَّلَ بَعْدَهُ عَلَىٰ بَعْدٍ فِي الرِّزْقِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He's given a fadl, an increase, to some of you that you have more risk than others. Some of you have more wealth than others. You'll find that the bulk of the word, the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used in the Quran, is when, for example, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِذَا نُودِيَ لِلصَّلَاةِ مِنْ يَوْمِ الْجُمُعَةِ فَاسْعَوْا إِلَىٰ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَذَرُوا الْبَيْعَ Right? This ayah of Jumu'ah. Allah ta'ala tells us to go out for Jumu'ah. When we head out for Jumu'ah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us to leave transaction, leave the sale. And then when فَإِذَا قُضِيَتِ الصَّلَاةِ And when the prayer is done, فَانْتَشِرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَبَتَغُوا مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ Allah ta'ala says that you should go back into the earth, go back and leave the masjid, وَبَتَغُوا مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ And go get the fadl of Allah. You look in the books of tafsir, what is the meaning of fadl here? The meaning of blessing or increase to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that you obtain wealth. Money to Allah ta'ala is a fadl from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To have money is a fadl from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam, when he gets back the throne of Bilqis in front of him, when he gets the throne of Bilqis in front of him, after having that discussion, right, in Surah An-Naml, right, he goes and says, هَذَا مِنْ فَضْلِ رَبِّي He says, this is from the fadl of my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that I'm able to receive something as a gift from Allah azza wa jal. And so this concept of wealth being a bonus or an extra or an addition from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is something that we as Muslims have always understood. Nabi alayhi salam encouraged it. He told them, he said, that the best wealth that a person can have is that they earned it with their own hands. That the best wealth that a person can have is that they earn it with their own hands. That the Muslim ummah should be working at all times. That the Muslim men should be working and doing something so that way they're earning something every single time, every single day. The Prophet alayhi salam said, and this is what? He said that the amal of Dawood alayhi salam kana min yadihi. وَكَانَ دَعُودَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ يَأْكُلُ مِنْ يَدِهِ مِنْ عَمَلِ يَدِهِ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ والسلام. That Dawood عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ used to take from whatever he used to work with his own hands. What does this mean? Dawood عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ had an entire kingdom. He had an entire kingdom. He could have just told the jinn not to do something, or the humans under him to do something, or the birds to do something. He could have told so many things to do whatever. But he decided to work for himself. And Dawood alayhi salam was one of the greatest of worshippers to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His nights would be divided into three parts, right? One night, one part for sleeping, one part for worshipping, and one part again to take some rest, right? Divided into three portions. And Sayyidina Dawood alayhi salam, he used to do the Somu Dawood, right? Somu Dawoodi we say. He used to fast one day and not fast the next day. So half of his life was in fasting. But along with all the stuff he used to do, he used to make sure he was working. Because this is part of deen, it's an ibadah. You should not consider it that you're going out to work every day and I'm just doing it because I'm doing it. No, you are getting sawab if you're doing it for the right niyyah. One time the sahaba of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, hadith al-Tabarani, they passed by a man. وَرَأَى أَصْحَابُ النَّبِيَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَاةُ مِنْ جَلَدِهِ وَنَشَاطِهِ They saw how beaten down, how tired he looked. But he looked so active in what he was doing, right? He looked fatigued, but he was working so hard. And they said, Ya Rasulullah, لَوْ كَانَ هَذَا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ They said, Oh, Ya Rasulullah, we wish this person was in the path of Allah. And the Prophet ﷺ tells him something so prophetic, so beautiful, عليه الصلاة والسلام. إِن كَانَ هَذَا يَخْرُجُ يَسْعَى فِي وَلَدِهِ صِغَارًا فَهُوَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ The Prophet ﷺ said, if this person came out of his house to work so that way he can feed his children, then he's in the path of Allah. وَإِن كَانَ هَذَا يَسْعَى لِشَيْخَيْنِ كَبِيرَيْنِ فَهُوَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ If he decided to work so that he can provide for his parents, he's also in the path of Allah. Subhanallah. If people are like, oh, this is a hadith of the Prophet alayhi salam. Yes, a hadith of the Prophet alayhi salam. وَإِنْ كَانَ هَذَا يَسْعَى لِنَفْسِهِ يُعِفُّهَا فَهُوَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ And if he's doing it just so that he doesn't need to become a beggar, that he doesn't want to beg in front of people, he's doing it so he can earn his own living, so he doesn't have to rely on anyone. يُعِفُّهَا He does, the word iffat means what? That you are mustaghni, you don't go near anyone. You keep to yourself, right? To have iffah means you keep to yourself. You don't go around asking or talking to other people, or even asking your parents even. Because why? Because I don't want to ask my dad for money, I'd rather provide for myself. فَهُوَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ The Prophet says, this person is the path of Allah too. وَنْ كَانَ هَذَا يَخْرُجُ يَسْعَى مُفَاخَرَةً وَرِيَاءً أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ فَهُوَ فِي سَبِيلِ الشَّيْطَانِ The Prophet says, but if this person came out to brag or to boast, or to say that I have lots of money and I want to show people how I have lots of money, then this person is in the path of shaitan. The Prophet ﷺ encouraged it and encouraged it and encouraged it. He told this man, and this man came to the Nabi ﷺ and said, Ya Rasulullah, I asked you for some money. I need some money. The Prophet ﷺ said, what do you have in your house? Authentic hadith. What do you have in your house? He said, Ya Rasulullah, I don't have much. I just have a blanket and I have a bowl. I have a blanket and a bowl. The Prophet ﷺ said, bring both of them. And he brought them into the masjid. And he said, he brought in from the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, the blanket and the bowl. And he started a little auction. Man yazidu ala hada. Man yazid, right? Bay'u man yazid, right? In the books of fiqh. It says what? That the Prophet ﷺ said, who will buy this bowl and this blanket? One sahabi said, Ya Rasulullah, I'll buy it. Ashtarihi bi dirham. I'll buy it with one dirham. The Prophet ﷺ said, that's good. Man yazidu ala hada. Who will increase on this? Who will buy it for two dirhams? Who will buy it for two? And it says, Isnaini wa salasan. The Prophet ﷺ keeps saying it. Who will buy it? We have one. We have two. The Prophet ﷺ would do this. And so one man said, Ya Rasulullah, I'll buy it for two dirhams. So then he purchases it. And the Prophet ﷺ gives these two dirhams to the man. He says, with one of these dirhams, buy some food for your house. With the other one, go buy an axe. So the guy does so. He buys some food for home and he buys an axe. He comes back to the Prophet ﷺ. The Prophet ﷺ says, now go chop some firewood. Go to the woods, chop it up. Don't come back to me after. Come back to me after 5 days. I want to see you later, right? So the man goes. He chops wood for some time. After a certain amount of time, comes back to the Prophet ﷺ and he says, "Ya Rasulullah, I earned 10 dirhams. I earned 10 dirhams, and I was able to buy some clothes. I was able to buy some food, and I was able to increase in my business." And the Prophet ﷺ says, he said, "Isn't this better than you coming with that begging that you were about to do?" Isn't this better than you coming with that begging marked on your face on the Day of Judgment? Isn't this better than you having this beautiful, this disgusting mark on your face because you were begging from people? As Muslims, we don't like people that are begging. That's why I always tell people, if you see a beggar, don't just give them money. Bring them inside the masjid. Okay, we can resolve the problem inside, right? Why do people need to see Muslims are begging from each other? It's very sharam ki baat, right? It's very embarrassing that we are people that are supposed to give money to the entire world. And there, our own people are begging from us, right? It's a very embarrassing thing. May Allah give us hidayah and tawfiq. The Prophet ﷺ encouraged and encouraged and encouraged. But he made this very important rule. He said, Ya ayyuhan nas ittaqullah. He told the Sahaba radiallahu anhu one day, he said, oh people, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa ajminu fit talab. He said, but don't try too hard in obtaining risk. And I stress this point. Because sometimes as parents, right, we worked on our kids for so long, we went and made them go through high school and college, they got a good degree, but they're not finding a job. They're not finding a job. It happens. It happens where you don't find a job. Sometimes a year will go by. And everyone knows their own struggles, right? Everyone has that little bit of musibah, or can't find any work. And this happens to many kids quite often that just end up finishing college, right? They are not able to find some work. But then what happens is parents, we pressure our kids so much. How much, like, look, if he is applying for jobs, and you know he's applying, not the kid who's just sitting out playing Xbox One all day. No, that guy, you should probably yell at him a couple more times, okay? But like the kid who is like legitimately trying to find work, and he's working really hard in that, right? And he's making dua, and you see him praying more salah because he's so worried, right? This kid, why are you yelling at him? Why are you pressuring him so much? He doesn't control the risk. Who controls the risk? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He only can do so much. Only so much you can do, right? The Prophet ﷺ said, "Ajminu fit talab." Just do as much as you can, right? فَإِنَّ نَفْسًا لَنْ تَمُوتَ حَتَّى تَسْتَوْفِيَ رِزْقَهَا. The Prophet ﷺ said, because no one will die except that the risk will be completed. That whatever they were supposed to gain in this world, they will gain it. And the Prophet ﷺ said it so beautifully in another hadith. He says that the same way your death looks for you, searches for you, finds you, same way your risk will find you. No matter where you go trying to hide from your risk, the risk will come and get you. That's what the Nabi alayhi salam tells us. So he says that, relax. You're trying. But don't stress yourself out. There's only so much you can do. Make dua at night time. Cry to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But don't become depressed over it. Because look, that's not in your control. That's where tawakkul comes in. You tried your best. Now leave the rest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Nabi alayhi salam tells us that be careful of trying too hard. And this is something we do very wrong, unfortunately. We want risk so badly. We love mal so much. وَتُحِبُّونَ الْمَالَ حُبًّا جَمَّا. We love mal so much. Now Allah says in the Quran, you love it so much. What is it in Surah Adiyat? إن الإنسان لربه لكنود وإنه على ذلك لشهيد وإنه لحب الخير لشديد. That he loves khair, and the Mufassirin say that he loves mal so much, he loves it so much, he's willing to send himself to work, he's willing to send his wife to work, he's willing to send his children to work. Everyone needs to be working, even if it's his mother and his father need to work. That's how much we need to make mal. Now this is excessive, yeah. This is excessive. Now you're doing israf. This is way too relax. Someone needs to be at home taking care of kids. You decide to work so much that no one's taking care of the kids. You have a non-Muslim raising them in a daycare, right? I'll give you an example. MashaAllah, we have this one little girl. Her name is Grace. But I will. It's not a non-Muslim name. Yeah, it's not. It's a non-Muslim, right? She is, MashaAllah, in New York, we have a bunch of babysitting aunties, right? So she is a non-Muslim girl that comes to the babysitting house, right? This girl, Grace, knows Fatiha, knows how to pray namaz, knows how to do zikr and tilawa, and she knows how to make sajda and everything. She is like 3 years old. Why? Because she's raised in a Muslim environment. I'm mentioning this because why? You think that you send them to a daycare, it's just going to be nice and all hanky-panky stuff? You are putting them in an environment that's going to affect them. Be very careful which environment you put your kids. You might not like what comes out. You might not like what's going to come out. And that's what happens here. We end up sending our kids because we all need to work. And then the kid ends up becoming spoiled or rotten or messed up. I'm mentioning in this masjid itself, I had two kids come up to me telling me about the secret girlfriend boyfriends that they had. In this masjid, mashallah. This is what I'm saying, like we don't even know what our kids are doing half the time. And then we regret it later on. Don't do that to yourself. أَجْمِنُوا فِي الطَّلَبِ. If the man is earning enough, it is not required for the wife to work. Not required for the wife to work. You can look in any book of fiqh. None of them will tell you that the wife needs to work. Her fadl from Allah is that she can take care of children, and she can take care of the house, and she can build human beings, you know? She has the ability to bring life into the world, and she has the ability to raise life in the world. And that's what Allah made her for. If you decide to take her out and put her in the place where there's a bunch of rocks, men, you know, and she's a delicate flower, she ends up being crushed, or even worse than that. Waliyadu billah. You have to think about these things. We end up pushing everyone to work. When the Nabi ﷺ said, أَجْمِنُوا فِي الطَّلَبِ. If you're making enough, you're making enough. Stop pushing any harder. And then the Prophet ﷺ finishes it. He says, خُذُوا مَا حَلَّ وَدَعُوا مَا حَرُمَ. Be very careful. Just take what is halal, don't take what is haram. This is the second issue that we make. We're so obsessed with getting mal and wealth and wealth and wealth, we end up pushing ourselves into a haram means, a haram avenue, just so that we can make enough. Some people get addicted to gambling. Some people get a job in a haram environment, a haram area, and they don't decide to leave it. Some of us are selling haram. Some of us are selling haram in the name of halal, waliyadu billah. Some of us are selling meat, which is supposed to be, we say quote unquote halal, and we're deciding to deceive Muslims and make it halal. Waliyadu billah. Nabi alayhi salatu said it, he said it so beautifully. He said that a man would go and suffer. The Prophet made this hadith of Muslim. A man will go out and suffer. He'll go out in a travel. And he is stuck. Everything is gone. His horse, his camel, his ride, everything. He's in the middle of nowhere, in the barren desert. And he's a traveler by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's faqeer. He's dire need. He's muttar, right? This is something in the Quran. أَمَّا يُجِيبُ الْمُطَّرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ. The muttar, the person who's in dire need, Allah ta'ala answers that person. But Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, he raises his hand and says, Ya Rabbi, my Allah, my Allah, my Lord, my Lord. وَمَا الْبَسُوا حَرَامُ وَمَا تَعَمُوا حَرَامُ وَمَا شْرَبُوا حَرَامُ وَغُذِيَ بِالْحَرَامُ. The Prophet ﷺ says his food is haram, his drink is haram, his clothing is haram, and he has been nourished by haram. فَأَنَّ يُسْتَجَابُ لَهُ. Where is he going to get his answer from? There's no way the dua will be accepted by this person. وَلِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. And we are all okay with it, unfortunately. We're all okay with being deceived. We're all okay, and we're wondering, I made dua, Mawlana Sahib, why is it not working? Maybe because we're eating haram. Maybe because we're earning haram. And now the avenue of dua being accepted is going to be completely blocked off. Nabi ﷺ told, Sa'ad ibn Waqqas, he said, Ya Rasulullah, make dua that I become mustajabu da'wah. I want to be a person when I raise my hands, the entire heavens and earth change. So that way my dua is accepted. And the Nabi ﷺ said, Ya Sa'ad, At-tib mat'amat takun mustajabu da'wah. The Nabi ﷺ said, Oh Sa'ad, make your food halal, you will become a person whose duas are accepted. Sa'ad at the end of his life was blind, but whenever he raised his hands, all of his duas would manifest right in front of him. They used to come to him and ask him for du'as, and all those things would happen in front of him, mashallah. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he warned about people taking haram and investing haram. Even the Quraysh, when they were building the Kaaba Sharif, you know, unfortunately we don't have any sense anymore. We will build a masjid off of haram money as well, waliyadu billah. And this is a long topic. Alhamdulillah, this masjid, mashallah, I'm not talking about this one, mashallah. I love this place. Right? Alhamdulillah, may Allah save us and protect us. But there are certain, like, there are places that people are just doing nonsense. They'll take a mortgage loan to build a masjid of Allah. Like, what does that even mean? The Quraysh had such sense that when they were building the Kaaba al-Musharrafa, the Kaaba al-Sharifa, that they renovated, right? They said that, look, we have haram money. We can't use any haram money in the Masjid of Allah. But we don't even have that level of decency. May Allah give us tawfiq and hidayah. We have to prepare, remind ourselves that number one, that make sure that if you're earning enough, you're earning enough. Don't do too much. It's good that you're earning. Nabi Sassan loved it. Allah loves it. But don't push yourself so much that you're missing prayers. People end up missing salah. I know people in Burlington, the locality, they don't even pray Jumu'ah because they're working so hard. They don't want to miss their work because of the, you know, things like that. Waliyadhu billah. Are you really doing the right thing? Talabul halali, talabul kasb al halali faridatun ba'da farida. The Prophet ﷺ said that earning halal is a fard after other faraid. That if you have to first make sure you're doing your prayers first and then earning halal. Right, we flip the matter around. May Allah save us and protect us. We end up doing what? We push too hard on it. We end up going to these haram means to earn. And the third thing is that I want to stress this point. We don't plan for our children when they have to go to college. We don't plan for our children when they have to go to college. You can ask all these kids how much they have to pay for in a year when they have to go for college, right? Maybe if you're talking about maybe UMass, maybe like 14,000. If you're talking about Harvard, maybe 40 to 60,000. Talking about MIT, maybe 70,000 a year. A year to study. Talk about becoming a doctor, a dentist. Everyone wants their kid to become a doctor. But how much does Dr. Saf have to pay in terms of loans? Right? And then we force our kids to take these haram loans because what? We didn't save any money for them. We were busy buying the house. We were busy buying the car. We were busy buying this and this and this. And we forgot to invest in our children. And I'm telling you, it's really simple. If you just put in $200 a month, right? Instead of buying whatever or investing whatever, maybe get a, like an okie-dokie Maulana Saab car, you know? And just working off that type of car, and then you save $200 a month, mashallah, every single time. At the end of 18 years, how much money will you have? If you need an investment option, I got pretty good investment, halal options you can even invest the money in. And you can even make more then, so your kid has enough to study. But then what happens is what? They become 18. Now they want to become a doctor, or a dentist, or a pharmacist. My friend who became a pharmacist, right? He told us one time, he mentioned, he's like, today, on this day, my loan has reached over $100,000. $100,000. Who made our kids have to take this loan? Because you and I did not plan for anything. And who will be responsible on Qiyamah? We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us and protect us. Allow us to have fikr and samaj. That we were trying to feed our kid halal, halal, halal. Let's make sure inshallah when they get into college that you have it. And you know there are subsidized loans and things like that. But even if you can just pay it off your own pocket, then why not? You know there's certain kids, mashallah, the parents did it. They made sure to save and alhamdulillah they're doing fine. You and I can do the same exact thing. Plan now before you end up regretting what you have to do, what's going to happen tomorrow. May Allah give us all tawfiq and hidayah to earn halal, to obtain halal, to move out of the jobs that are haram and go to halal jobs if we can, inshallah ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make sure that our children are always in a halal environment. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He save us from the riba and the haram systems that are out there. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Muhammad wa alayhi wa sallam. For those who make sunnah can do so, inshallah.